The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, the Father, God has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." So they said to him, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning to everybody. I want you to imagine this. Imagine that you are really hungry and you go, begging somebody's house and they give you a big glass of water. And okay, that's nice, but I'm not thirsty, I'm hungry. So they give you another glass of water. And every time you come to them and you go up and down the street and everywhere you go, even though the people have plenty of food, they keep giving you water. And after a while, you would be, even though they're not taking anything away from you, or they're not, in a sense, being mean to you, you would get really frustrated, right? And you would be like, "I need food, I'm starving, and they keep giving me water. I could have an entire ocean of water, and it would not satisfy what I'm looking for, because I need food." And the reality is, we need both food and water. That's the thing. We need both things. And what... In the Bible, it's actually one of the themes that keeps coming up over and over again in the Old Testament, the people of God dealing with hunger. For example, in the first reading, we've got the people of Egypt. They've already escaped into the desert, okay? God has freed them from slavery. For 400 years, the people of Israel have been slaves in Egypt. And it was not a nice existence. I mean, the book of Exodus itself tells us. What did Pharaoh do? Kill the firstborn. Kill all the boys. Okay, that's not the kind of place you want to live. Demand that the Israelites produce the same amount of bricks as before, but without giving them the things that they need to make the bricks. And if they don't do it, beat them. That was the existence they had known, okay? And nonetheless, when they get out into the desert and they face hunger, the first thing they do is they say, "How much better we had it before." So why does God allow hunger? Why does God allow us to experience that? The same thing that happened in the gospel. Well, because when we experience hunger, we experience need. But it also, if we're attentive, it can make us wake up to the fact that there's more than one kind of hunger that we have. So in the gospel, when Jesus is preaching to the people, there's something interesting. The people of Israel were starving to hear the word of God. They were starving for the message of Christ. It reminds me, actually, in the book of Amos. Amos is one of the prophets, and he was telling them before they got exiled to Babylon, he said, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." So God was already telling the people of Israel 1,000 years before Jesus, "You know what? you guys think that you're satisfied because you're well-to-do, you've got food, you've got protected cities, everything seems like it's going well, but you have lost God. And I'm going to send a famine on this land so that you recognize we're not starving for food and we're not thirsty for water. We are starving for God. And this is kind of what Jesus was experiencing when he arrived. He began to preach and he began to work miracles, and people realized the words that Jesus is preaching, we are starving for this. We are starving for this encounter with the living God. And they actually went out and they just went out in thousands, and it didn't even occur to them, hey, maybe we should bring some money. Hey, maybe we should bring some food. They just followed Jesus kind of unwittingly and stayed with them to the point where Jesus had said, you know what, these people are hungry. I've got to feed them. That was the day before the gospel passage that we just read. So what happens? The people get all excited because Jesus works the miracle. He feeds the 5,000 and you know, with a couple of loaves and a couple of fish, and people are like, whoa, this guy can perform. But something happened. Once their material hunger was satisfied, they lost their hunger for the Word of God. They lost the recognition that we're starving for God's Word. So the next day when they go chasing after Jesus, Jesus tells them, you're not looking for me anymore because you want to hear the Word of God, because you want to encounter the living God, because you want to place yourself before him and receive miracles. You're coming to me so that I can feed you again. That's not what I'm here for. Do not come to me looking for just material bread. And here's the interesting thing. When you come to Christ looking for the thing that most satisfies us, which ultimately is going to be God himself. When we come to Christ looking for an encounter with the living God, he will take it upon himself to take care of our material needs. At least he does in the gospel here. And when we come to him just looking for stuff, you end up with neither one or the other. And this is what happened to the people. There was an American priest during World War II, before World War II, but when the Soviet Union was getting going, Stalin was the beloved leader of the Soviet Union at the time. So communism was considered to be, you know, the great world threat. And the Catholic Church, well, the communists were no friends of the Catholic Church, and therefore the Catholic Church also, recognizing you've got this evil atheistic system that is oppressive, we need to do something about it. So the Jesuits in particular started forming people to sneak into the Soviet Union, Russia, and bring the Word of God and bring sacraments. And one of these guys, he was a Polish descent young Jesuit guy from Buffalo, New York. You know, he was living in Poland, ready to go. Poland got captured. He went into the Soviet Union thinking, okay, here I am. I'm going to do my secret ministry. He lasted about 5 days before they caught him. And then for the next like 15 or 20 years of his life, he was in hard labor camps in Siberia. Yeah, facing death, facing hunger, facing freezing conditions. And here's what happened. At the beginning, it was really tough and nobody wanted anything to do with him. But after a while, the Catholics that realized we've got a priest here. Now remember, this is before Vatican II. If you wanted to receive communion, you had to fast from midnight the night. Some of you remember this, right? So if you wanted to receive communion back in the old days, you had to fast from midnight until whatever time of day the Mass was. Well, Father Walter Chiswick, people would sneak in a little bits of wine and they would offer up the bread that they had. He would celebrate Mass after they were supposed to be in bed. So it's like already 10 in the evening or 11 in the evening, which means the people were willing to fast an entire day, to go without eating an entire day in conditions of starvation and being frozen to death and hard labor so that they could receive Christ in the Eucharist. Because under those conditions, they realized Yes, I'm starving for bread. Yes, I'm starving for heat. Yes, I need all of these things. But more fundamentally than anything else, under those conditions, people understood, I am dying for God. I need Christ. I need the Eucharist. I need the grace that the sacraments bring. And it's interesting because sometimes we can get ourselves here, you know, we're very comfortable. Look around. I mean, we're in Rye or even in the United States in general, we're very comfortable. We got churches all over. You can go to Mass if you really want to. You can go to Mass whenever you want. It's very rare. Maybe if you're a fireman or medical or military or something like that, some of these professions, that you might be forced to miss Mass. But 99% of us, if we want to go to Mass, we can. And if we want to, frankly, we could probably do it every day. And we make excuse, oh, my family's here. They're visiting. I had to miss Sunday Mass. So what if your family's here? Bring them to Mass. But they're not Catholic. Okay, well, show them that your faith is important to you and that for an hour and a half of your time, you're busy the same way that you would for anything else that's important in your life. And then you've got the whole rest of the day. Well, but we've got a trip. Then go to the first Mass or go to Saturday or whatever. So often we take the Mass and the sacraments for granted. And when things get really difficult in our lives, that's when we realize, I'm starving. I'm starving for the sacraments. And that's why I think God allows hunger and suffering and so many things to happen to us so frequently. Because when we have to go through it, when we kind of have to muscle through those things, it also awakens in us the knowledge that there's something even deeper that I'm missing, that I really need. So this morning the invitation is, you're all here, so congratulations, you're here, I'm preaching to the choir, okay? But let's not take for granted the fact that we have the Eucharist. Theoretically, it could be taken from us. It could be made much more difficult to gain access to it. But you and I have the Eucharist. So let's take advantage of the fact that Christ has given us this gift. Let's never take it for granted. Let's always value it. And as often as we can, every day even if we can, let's make sure that we are plugging in to the God who feeds our deepest needs. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.